Hey, this is Elizabeth.
This is Keisha.
Hi, this is Leslie Sullivan, and welcome to the Mustard Seed Podcast.
All right, so chapter 7 begins with "Do not judge others." Is the title, and I am also reading out of the NLT because for me, in my eyesight, in my brain, it's easier for me to read it out loud. So it says, "Do not judge others, and you will not be judged, for you will be treated as you treat others. The standard you use in judging is the standard of which you will be judged." Just pause there for a half a second. "And why worry about a speck in your friend's eye when you have a log in your own? How can you think of saying to your friend, 'Let me help you get rid of the speck in your eye,' when you can't see past the log in your own eye? Hypocrite. First, get rid of the log in your own eye. Then you will see well enough to deal with the speck in your friend's eye. Don't waste what is holy on people who are unholy. Don't throw your pearls to pigs. They will trample the pearls, then turn and attack you." Effective prayer. That's the title. The next section. "Keep on asking and you will receive what you ask for. Keep on seeking and you will find. Keep knocking and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. Everyone who seeks finds. And everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. You parents, if your children ask for a loaf of bread, do you give them a stone instead? Or if they ask for a fish, do you give them a snake? Of course not. So if you sinful people know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give good gifts to those who ask him?" The golden rule. Do to others whatever you would like them to do to you. This is the essence of all that is taught in the law and the prophets. The narrow gate. You can enter God's kingdom only through the narrow gate. The highway to hell is broad, and its gates is wide for the many people who choose that way. But the gateway to life is very narrow, and the road is difficult, and only few will ever find it. The tree and its fruit. Beware of false prophets who come disguised as harmless sheep, but are really vicious wolves. You can identify them by their fruit. That is the way they act. You can pick a grape from thorn bushes or figs from thistles, or can you? I don't think I said that right. I apologize. Can you pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? A good tree produces good fruit, and a bad tree produces bad fruit. A good tree cannot produce bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot produce good fruit. So every tree that does not produce good fruit is chopped down and thrown into the fire. Yes, just as you can identify a tree by its fruit, so you can identify people by their actions. Mm. True disciples. Not everyone who calls out to me, "Lord, Lord," will enter the kingdom of heaven. Only those who actually do the will of my Father in heaven will enter. On judgment day, many will say to me, "Lord, Lord, we prophesied in your name and cast out demons in your name and performed many miracles in your name." But I will reply, "I never knew you. Get away from me, you who break God's laws." Building on a solid foundation. Anyone who listens to my teaching and follows it is wise. Like a person who builds a house on a solid rock, though the rain comes in torrents and the floodwaters rise and the winds beat against that house, it won't collapse because it is built on bedrock. But anyone who hears my teachings and doesn't obey it is foolish. Like a person who builds a house on a sand, when the rain comes and the floods come and the winds beat against that house, it will collapse with a mighty crash. When Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching, for he taught with real authority, quite unlike their teachers of religious law. See, I say that it's easier to read, and then I stumble over my words half the time when I'm trying to speak.
That's me all the time. Doesn't matter what I read.
I feel like I should have it right in front of my face so that way I can follow it better.
Not to jump far. And but I think where it says, you know, no, no, I think I've said this before. When Jesus declares, then I would declare to them, I never knew you, depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. So yeah, it's the scariest thing ever.
Ever.
I never want to hear that. Ever.
Mm-mm. That quite literally makes me want to cry listening, like thinking about it. Like, I just, it's one of those things that it's a, that is a holy, reverent moment for me to say, please don't let that be me.
Yeah, that's terrifying. You know, but it says, you know, for the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few.
Mm-hmm.
I was gonna say that to a lot of people.
Yeah,
but it's also, the gate, it might be narrow, but he is wide open to let us in.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the distinction I make in my brain, is that because he's showing us the way in and his arms are wide open.
Yeah.
So even though the gate might be really thin compared to Leslie, compared to others, compared to this, compared to that, you know what I mean? Like in the context of staying on the straight and narrow path, right? Like that, he wants us to stay in a path. Like that's why he has the Holy Spirit to keep us guided down the narrow path sometimes. But I also just always want to turn to how wide and open his arms are to welcome me. Mm-hmm. I think that's maybe how I get through the thought of that narrow gate, right? Is that, you know, not to diminish that's a scary thing, but to say he's bigger than the narrow. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's important to be pointed out though. Just like the golden rule is important to be pointed out. And like the other things that he continues to show us all the time in this sermon are important to point out. The lost side and the mercy side, the hard side and the good side, you know? Because if you don't, you're never going to make it through the gate.
Mm-hmm.
And your house is going to sink in the sand.
Right. You know, I think this is also, it's to be noted, and this is something, and it's funny how often I think that we all quote this or, you know, quote the Sermon on the Mount without realizing that this is when he said it.
Yeah.
Right. This is why we remember this. So this is where we got that from, you know, but this is also, you know, you have the do not judge others. You know, everybody's very focused on that. You know, it's like, okay, yeah, you're not supposed to judge y'all. No kidding. You know, we're not. We're supposed to guide. We're supposed to lead. We're supposed to show, right?
Yeah.
Judging here is, you know, when you're condemning that person, you know, you're charging them with a sentence. You're telling them, you know what? You're going to go to hell. Period. Done. That's your sentence, you know? So, but people forget that verse continues, right? Like that's in just number one, right? Don't judge others and you will not be judged. Okay, let's look at what does number two say? You know, for you will be treated as you treat others. Oh, you know, the standard that you use in your judgment will be what you're judged on. Oh. Yep.
Oh, there's more?
Yeah, like, wait a minute. But again, like he doesn't call us to condemn people to hell. That's not our job. Thank you, Jesus. I don't have to do that.
You be judged.
Yeah. You know, I have a problem where, I mean, it's not a problem. It's not a problem, but I can usually see the good in everybody. Not everything. I might not like you for some things, but I can find good things in you.
Yeah.
You know, and so that would, and I can't imagine the good that Jesus can find in everybody and how much he loves them. And he still has to send them somewhere that he doesn't want, like to be separated from him eternally.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm grateful that I don't have that, because there's some people that I might not mind being separated from eternally, but I also might feel really bad about where they're going to be. Yeah. You know, like I would like you to be in heaven, but I need you to stay on that side, you know, but, you know, it's just a matter of, we just need to remember that again, we're called to show others who Jesus is, to how to make them stay, find the path. Let me help you find this path in this wilderness that is life. You know, let's find the right ways. Let's go back to the, you know, in chapter 5, let's be the light, let's be the salt. You're going even back to James. You're going to know us by our works. Like, faith without works is dead, right? Because you can have works without faith, but you can't have faith without works, because you're going to know that who we are
mm-hmm.
by what we do and what we say and how we act. You know, so to go back even to like what I said in the beginning about how, you know, when we first started talking about this, would be how the chosen did it. You know, he said, like, you want to find me? Here's the groups of people that you need to find. The people that are doing these things, following me, you know, like doing what I do, showing others these things. I think it's good when they talk about the whole, you know, when he talks about effective prayer, like the keep on asking and you will receive, you know, you know, if you have the faith that he's going to provide it, then you need to have the faith that if you keep asking, he's going to give it to you.
Yep. And that it's not about your timing. It's about his, mm-hmm. that his timing is there to help you.
Mm-hmm.
Even though sometimes it sucks to wait.
Yes. Yeah. I'm not very patient.
He's not my spiritual gift.
No.
But then I see the heart and the thought and the reason behind it eventually. Even if I'm having that pity party because I didn't get the way I wanted. But but you can see it. And hindsight's always 20/20, right? Like, we can always mm-hmm. tell he did it a little bit further away from it. But I even know in the moment most times that there's a reason that he made me stop or wait or think or know. Yeah, I think it goes even into the, where is it? The tree and its fruits, right? So when you're struggling through relationships or things that are not going your way, we got to remember that there's vicious wolves, and that's called Satan. And mm-hmm. he's trying to infiltrate your brain and your relationships and your work and your family and your, because there's good there. There are good things happening, so he's going to plant that seed, whether it's in your brain, your kid's brain, your family, your best friend's brain, whatever it is, to try and distract you from the good of every day and the good of God.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why we have to keep going to him with prayer when we're struggling and when we're in the best parts of our life, because Satan's always trying to growl and crawl around and get us distracted and make the fruit die.
Mm-hmm. I saw the quote just the other day that says, you know, if you're underneath a spiritual attack, if you're going through, you know, the valleys, just know that you're on the right path, because, you know, thieves don't break into empty houses. You know, they don't, if there wasn't something of value in you, you wouldn't be going through the depths that you're going through. So you need to focus on God and finding what your path, like finding your way and finding your focus, and have it be on him to be able to get through that, because you wouldn't be underneath such kind of oppression if you weren't about to do something amazing.
Yep.
Or if it wasn't going to be eventually in your testimony. You know, I've said that to friends, like, I can't wait to see what your testimony is going to be when you come out on the other side of this, because you're going through it right now. I'm excited. I cannot wait to stand with you as you share this, because you're going to come out and you're going to have the most amazing testimony that's going to just save people.
It's going to transform them. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. Yep. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, taking it back just a little bit to, you know, talking about gifts. This is, you know, verse 11. If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him?
Mm-hmm.
I think it's too, is we got to be open our eyes to see the gifts that he gives us.
Yes.
I think sometimes it's, we lose our focus and we get stranded in the negative and we don't open our eyes and see what God's doing in our lives. You know, it's just, you know, it's like you're saying, you know, you're going through this right now, but I, you know, I can't wait to see your testimony. You know, that's when we got to put our focus on that we're looking for those gifts because we know they're there and we know what he gives them to us.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just always that look for, you got to look, you just have to just do that refocus. Look at what he's provided, not what he hasn't.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and it's not saying that what he hasn't provided isn't that he's not going to provide it. It's saying that he needs you to understand that what you think you need right now isn't always what you think. You know, let's full princess bride, you know, that word doesn't mean what you think it means.
But you know, too, it's sometimes as parents, I think back and, you know, we want to give all this stuff to our children. You know, we want to see the excitement on their face. We want them to have, you know, that ice cream every day and see just the excitement of it. But sometimes it's better if we don't give our children everything, you know. It's, I remember, I think our oldest son, he was probably 3 or 4 or something. And we was going to take him fishing after work one day. And we'd been building up all week long. We're going to go fishing after this day. We're going to get a pizza. We're going to get fishing. It's going to be so much fun. And he got in trouble at the babysitter's house.
Oh, no. Man.
And we couldn't go. And it was something that it had to be.
Mm-hmm.
You couldn't get this gift. It had to be an obedience thing. For him to understand that you don't get everything you want, because it's not good for us to get everything that we want.
Yeah.
Yep. Can't always get what
you want. And if the thing is, if we always got what we want, we would take it for granted, you know, because it's like, if we never know, we've never known what it's like to go without when we have it, then it wouldn't be so special.
We can't appreciate it.
Yeah. You know, and again, sometimes even like for me, I sometimes think that about that, like for, again, I know I've said this before, you know, when you're a believer your entire life and I've never strayed. I'm not saying that I've always been 100% as much in the Bible as I am now, because I have never, you know, I'm in a good season. At least I'm more in Bible now than I was before.
Yeah.
Other than when I was a stay-at-home mom, it was a lot easier to be in my Bible when I was a stay-at-home mom, not working, and, you know, and the kids were a little littler. Something that was easier for me. But, you know, sometimes I think that those who've come to Jesus after knowing what it was like without him have a better respect. But then I see people who have gone through hell with Jesus, like, and then come out and have an even greater respect with them too. And I haven't gone through a hell, and I don't really want to. Thank you, Lord, you know, but I know that I need to have that kind of awe of him sometimes. I have to remind myself that I get to talk to the creator of the universe every day. Yeah. You know, like, he's with me every day. He cares enough about me to listen to my ramblings and my perimenopausal brain cells all the time. You know, and he wants to, because he wants to have that relationship, whether it's me babbling or me coming to him like I'm supposed to.
Yeah. And he loves you so, so richly and so fully.
Mm-hmm.
You can come to him in all the different states that you have in a day,
mm-hmm.
a minute. And he just says, come to me.
Mm-hmm.
You're my child. And we get to do that.
Yeah.
And I think that's, you know, also taking it all in and, you know, building our house on the rock.
Yes.
That strong foundation that when the bad comes, the rain falls, we stand firm.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Those are our kids and our loved ones.
That's a prayer, is just making sure our kids have that strong foundation.
Yep.
So I'm grateful for our youth group because I know Jackson's getting a good, strong foundation like I had when I was in youth, you know, and I'm like, I'm so grateful you have these people in your life and that you want to be there. It's not like, oh, I don't want to go to church. It's like, hey, are we going to church? You know, he didn't want to go hiking this Sunday because he wanted to go to church. And I'm not about ready to say, nope, we're all skipping. You know, we needed a family day and we still do. But, you know, we have the ability with my dad still here like that. Okay. My dad can take him to church. Stephen and I we needed our time too. So we went, you know, hiking and you're in God's country and we talked about God and we talked about, you know, the Bible. That's what we do. You know, we talk about everything, but we always seem to come back to, we come back to, let's discuss the Bible. This is what I think, because Steve's and my thought processes do not align and on a lot of different topics, but again, it's non-salvation issues, so it doesn't matter, but it's good to have these conversations and, you know, to drive through the Smoky Mountains listening to worship music is a whole different experience.
Not so bad.
You know, it's, you might as well be in church because you're out in God's creation, you know, thanking him for that, just the beauty. Yep. I mean, I can still remember Stephen and I, we were driving all of us. We were driving through, we were out west, we were going through the Badlands and going through the Teton Mountains and in Yellowstone. And, you know, and I remember Steve's playlist is a lot like mine, except for he puts worship music on his playlist that is just plays through. I kind of like to keep those things separate. But his is, you know, it's nice over here, you know, we listen to some things and then all of a sudden you're getting, you get Hell or High Water coming on. So you're singing these songs and you're seeing the nature of it and you're seeing God's beauty and you're singing these songs. I'm like, this is what it's about. This is, you know, and I feel like you get almost a more of a good appreciation for that.
Well, and it's why he has brought the two of you together in life.
Yeah. Yeah. He knew what he was doing.
It's weird.
I know. It's like he almost like he created us or something.
Like he had a plan.
Yeah, maybe. All right. Well, I think that pretty much, at least this time around, we'll wrap up the Sermon on the Mount. Stay tuned for 2.0, you know, next year or 2 years from now, or when the Holy Spirit says, hey, let's try this again. You know, and we can come at it from a different perspective. But, you know, I think this is something that I think it's good for everybody to reread. You know, I think this is something that everybody needs to remember. Because like I said, like we all said, like, I didn't remember it was in here. Like, I know this, but I didn't remember this was in here. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about the verses that are surrounded. Let's talk about the context. Like when you bring these things in and they all kind of start making more sense and how they relate to us now. And, you know, there's so many good resources out there to help you kind of dig into the Sermon on the Mount. Like I mentioned earlier, like the Bible Project has a whole, like, their last year, their whole podcast was the Sermon on the Mount. That's what they talked about, mm-hmm. You know, and even the Bible Project itself, like I love them. I've followed them for years because I love how they take that and do an adult animation, right? And go through the books of the Bible and give you all the highlights. I learned so much from those 15-minute videos than I do from some people's sermons.
Amen.
You know, and I'm like, because it has a little bit of everything. Here's the historical facts. Here's this. And then even if you want to dig deeper, they have articles on their webpage, right? Yep. So, I mean, and they don't know I'm alive. They don't know we do this. This is just me being me saying this is the resource that I use, you know, especially for this. And, you know, but there are so many things like even the got questions.org. I know that we most of us use that one too. You know, there's so many good resources, but again, it's always just checking your sources so you know where it's coming from. You know, disclaimer. Yeah. But you know, there's so many things that can help you and help us dig in. And there's a plethora of knowledge out there to help us at least to be able. And then of course there's always something to be said to be in the right mind to go in the Bible and hear what it has to say to you from God himself.
Amen.
So, but we are grateful that you guys stuck around with us for the Sermon on the Mount, and we look forward to seeing you guys all next time. We want to thank you all for listening to the Mustard Seed Podcast and for joining us on this journey that God laid on our hearts. I know it's hard to feel connected when we are on this side of the microphone, so we wanted to make sure that you knew that you could connect with us on Facebook and Instagram at the Mustard Seed Podcast. Our Facebook group is a community. We share funny memes, Bible verses, and just life. You can reach out however you feel comfortable. We want to build the community that we advocate for on this podcast, the Come As You Are. Our table will never be too crowded and cannot get too big. You belong here, and we want to connect with you.